Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamiġi u plilkom biex xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very pleased to have with me today in the studio for University Matters two guests. One is Dr. Maria Attard and the other Dr. Kenneth Sherry. One is a geographer and the other an engineer. And we will discover as the program goes on why these two diverse professionals have got together. Just a few words about Dr. Attard. She's the director and vice chair of the Institute for Sustainable Development, a lecturer in geography with specializations in the application of geographic information systems and transport geography. She has been the academic coordinator of the university's Geographic Information Systems, GIS laboratory since 97, and has taught the discipline across a number of faculties, as well as raised awareness of GIS as a decision support tool amongst government and the private sector. After completing her doctoral research at UCL, she was also involved in a number of national projects related to land transport. She represented the transport sector on the National Commission for Sustainable Development, as well as in other local and international committees dealing with sustainable mobility research and policy. She has published in the areas of transport as well as GIS education. Dr. Kenneth Sherry read for his undergraduate degree at the University of Malta, receiving his Bachelor in Electrical Engineering, first class honours I might say. After a short working period with a leading communication company, he read for his Master of Science degree in Systems Engineering at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan in the USA. And at Oakland, he focused on modern control theory with applications in robotics. On his return to Malta, he joined the Department of Electrical Power and Control Engineering. This was before starting his doctoral studies at the University of Sheffield in the UK. He gained his PhD from the Department of Automatic Control and Systems Engineering in 2010. His current research interests focus on modelling of complex dynamic systems purely from gathered data. Such work has been applied to the modelling of air pollution patterns over the Maltese Islands and the modelling of electrical connectivity inside the human brain from, and I hope I get this right, electroencephalography. Data. He has been a committee member on a number of international conferences and is a reviewer for peer-reviewed journals in signal processing and systems theory. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those CVs were a bit of a mouthful, as you will have gathered. As I said, it is quite, may seem a little unusual to have a geographer and engineer working together. However, this is really the shape of research these days, that there is a lot of interdisciplinarity, multidiscipline approach and approaches. Nobody can do things on their own. So I suppose this is another of those examples where you've got two quite diverse fields working together. So how did this come about, Dr. Attard?
When it came about something like a year and a half or 2 years ago.
A couple of years back, yeah.
Kenneth was in search of some data, some area in which to apply a particular modeling technique. And I saw the opportunity, of course, to extend the geography and the spatiality of elements in engineering and bring together the two fields in what today is in fact called geocomputation. So there is a specific field in which the two, geography and engineering, come together really and truly. And I thought this was a great opportunity to merge the two. Over and above, of course, is the fact that within the Institute for Sustainable Development, we tend to encourage as much as possible interdisciplinarity. So frankly, the more people I can bring together, the happier I am. And this is how it started off. There was a specific need. We searched and searched for data. We found good data to analyze in the form of air pollution data, which Malta had been collecting for a period of 10 years. And we could do some analysis with that, using models which can explain.
I did read the abstract of your paper, Spatio-Temporal Analysis of Air Pollution Data in Malta. And although we'll talk about other things, it might be interesting just to explain briefly, Dr. Sherry, what that paper was all about.
The idea was to try and apply some work that I had done in the UK to Malta. And as Maria was saying, we decided to analyze the relationship between data gathered at different locations by MEPA. MEPA has about like 130 locations where they gather air pollution values for a number of pollutant. And we decided to analyze those related to traffic, traffic being one of the main pollutants in Malta. And what we concluded was that the main relationship between sites wasn't between sites that were relatively close to each other. We have sites which are 50 meters away, and we found that the pollution patterns between these two are completely not related, but they are related along the same major roads where they pretty much see the same traffic patterns, indicating that this kind of air pollution is really attributable to traffic.
What was your contribution?
The contribution is to what we do is that we fit mathematical models. So we fit mathematical equations, essentially, that explain the behavior. And we then analyze those models that we obtain. So I deal with not the gathering of the data, that's maybe something that's more in the remit of Maria's work, but once that we have the data, how can we extract the information from the data, and what confidence do we have? It's usually not enough to say there is a relationship, but it's important to say how big the relationship is and how confident we are. So there's a lot of statistics and mathematics involved. So I come there when I give that mathematical figure, and then Maria comes in again to give it a local interpretation.
Yes, of course, because once you have a model that gives you certain patterns and identifies particular trends or relationships in this case, you need to see it also with respect to the environment around. So understanding why two points are behaving like each other, you need to then look at it on a map, preferably, see what are the factors that might be affecting it, and see whether that pattern exists also for other places. So where there's traffic, is it where there's traffic, all the points are behaving the same? And of course, then we looked at GIS, we tried to identify some of the sources of pollution and try to see whether proximity was an issue. So it's bringing together that bit of engineering with sort of the geographic knowledge.
Was this a study that had a beginning and an end? How longitudinal was it?
Well, it was a relatively very, I think, it did have a beginning and it did have an end. Started off and was completed, I think, within just 1 year.
Within about a year, yes.
And within 1 year, we managed to submit an abstract for a conference in London. We went for the conference, we presented the conference, and we were asked to submit the paper for a journal. So it was a very fast-moving project with, I think, very good results in the end. The reviews in London were very, very good. And frankly, this is what inspired the next step for us, to take the next step in terms of, okay, how do we take this further? We have this great collaboration. We have found sort of where the link could be, how we can take it forward.
It was the catalyst for
TISTA,
which is another of those lovely acronyms, Transport Information Systems and Telematics. TISTA research group. So,
yes.
And in this group, I gather it's not just geographers and engineers anymore,
but you brought
in a lot of other people.
We did, because with TISTA then, of course, my big influence in transport and people's interest as well. People do have a genuine interest in transport, with some people having more than others.
It's a very topical issue, isn't it?
It is. So I sort of wrote a bit on that and said, okay, so you might want, you know, to get together and let's talk about transport. And transport not from a geographer's own, you know, geographer's point of view, which I am, but also from the perspective of engineering, because engineers are particularly interested in networks, how they function, what happens in the cases of disruption. But also then we saw other people in terms of how transport networks are increasingly becoming dependent on communications, because there is more real-time information to speed up how networks function, to speed up emergencies, to solve network problems. And so we brought in ICT people that were looking from a communications perspective. And then eventually we also brought in road engineer from the Faculty of the Built Environment. She joined us as well. So we're five departments, coming from five different faculties and institutes, that come together to discuss this specific theme, which is dealt with in pieces here and here. It's fragmented at the moment. So we've had a number of projects. If you think of ICT and engineering, there's been projects on travel information systems. There's been projects on on-demand public transport systems. There's been projects on intelligent campus parking systems. But they never come together to really look at the broader picture. And one of the concerns of TISTA was to try as much as possible to build capacity in this area, because one of the first things that we realized was that we didn't have enough people working on it to create the research momentum.
Critical mass.
Exactly, of people to focus on these very, very fast developing and highly important sectors within transport.
What about this collaboration? I mean, from an engineer's point of view, you were five groups of people in search of research opportunities.
Not really. I think it's very easy, as Maria was saying, to get excited about research in transport. Exactly excited, but
no.
To get into research in transport, because
no,
Malta
let's be honest,
has...
Kenneth, we do get excited about research in transport.
And so you should.
But Malta has one of the highest car ownership rates in the world, in a very small place. Transport is an issue, as we saw from the figures of air pollution coming from transport. We do have issues of quite high levels of pollutants. So we would like to contribute to the local environment by improving the transport system. And the TISTA title, the acronym, is for Transport Information Systems. Information systems is somewhat of a buzzword now, but it is a buzzword for a reason. All the internet and all the sensors and all this connectivity has brought about a large increase in data. We have large volumes of data coming in every day, and if before you could sit down and make something out of all this data, because maybe there wasn't such big volumes from a piece of paper, was possible. Nowadays you need intelligent systems, you need computer programs to extract information from all this data, and that's where engineers and ICT people can contribute. And then there is also, though, the part of actuating the plans, okay, where then engineers would be very, very, very important.
The role of university obviously is key in these areas, and we do have the expertise here, but clearly to carry a project or these types of projects to an end, to a conclusion or to some deliverables, costs money.
Mm-hmm.
So I presume that you've been looking for funding.
Yes, we've Well, last year we submitted an application for the University Research Fund, and as an initial step, we actually, the research fund was for two reasons. First of all, we wanted to actually look at the development of a transport network for Malta, because the network model that exists today for Malta are very, very old. And they're not held within the university, they were within government, and I think an update is necessary for that. And of course, the purpose for them, you know, you use them, of course, you need to make them relevant in today's situations. But secondly, was also to increase capacity, so start getting someone dedicated to work on this, and try and start building the capacity and the interest. So we went with that research project. We also got on board Transport Malta as a partner, of course, in this, because we also had talks with Transport Malta to try and see where we can offer the support. I mean, there are skills at university, and the skills transfer, let's put it this way, has happened in the past. And I would like to see that happening also in the future, because we're too small. We don't have that, you know, those hundreds and hundreds of people working in one field. We have maybe a few, and if we can share the resources and the output, then it's even better. So Transport Malta on board with that, and we're hopefully getting a reply soon about whether we managed to get the fund or not. The second opportunity has been a recent one. We're still, the closing date is next week, we're still in the last few legs, is we're trying to get into a project, an FP7 project, under the Regions of Knowledge call. And this will bring together, because the Regions of Knowledge brings together university, government, and private industry, to work towards the objective of greenways. Now, greenways are generally associated with cycling and walking paths, but we're extending the concept here to also include green vehicles, whether it is buses, whether it is personal transporters, whether it is scooters and so on. And using ICT, hence our industrial partner, which is, in this case, it's Imovo Limited, and bring in their expertise on enhancing methods, so travel information or transport information, to help people make the decision towards a better or a greener trip. So making sure the ultimate objective is for citizens to change to greener trips. And we're doing this with, as I said, with Imovo and with the local council of Valletta, because there is the potential there, of course, to improve Valletta's accessibility and reduce the burden of traffic onto the city.
I think it would be useless trying to encourage people to ride their bike to Valletta if there isn't a good path from the various villages and Maltese towns, a safe route where a biker would feel safe. So that's the idea of this project, to identify the routes that will, in this case, take you to Valletta, but also connect university, where you have a large number of young people who would be keen on using their bike to get to university. But it needs to be done safely. And yeah. I do ride a bike often, and there aren't many routes which are bike friendly. And so the idea is to identify those, and from the technological, from the engineering point of view, then produce iPhone and mobile phone apps where you can go, you say you are here, you would like to go there, and it gives you the route from one location to another, an idea of how long it's gonna take you, the fuel saving that you're gonna make instead of using a car, and how much calories you're gonna burn, and so on. So an app that gives you all this information makes it more informative, helps in the motivation of doing, and also makes it a little bit more fun, I think.
Yeah. I think that the stakeholders that you mentioned, obviously people like groups like Transport Malta or industries like IMOVO are important, but as you say, the stakeholders ultimately are the people out there who are going to actually adopt these ways of travel or not, as the case may be. And probably it's not only a matter of telling them that they have a path, or but it's also changing mindsets.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the most difficult thing.
In fact, the Regions of Knowledge program, in actual fact, is not the implementing program. It's a coordination program. So really it is looking at, and we're partnering on this with Thessaloniki in Greece, with Torino in Italy, and with London in the UK. And London has got one of the most advanced systems, if you think of the bike sharing system that they have, the Blue Routes. Torino are going to have electric buses being introduced. So we have the opportunity within this program to actually visit others and learn from the technologies, from the ways they've implemented the projects, and learn how we could actually implement things within Malta. So really the Regions of Knowledge programs aim towards actually a plan rather than the implementation. Also identifying the barriers, because of course there might be barriers to it. Of course our physical infrastructure is one biggest one. But it shouldn't, it's not impossible, you know, it's difficult but never impossible. So the action actually sees that, looks at networking as a potential knowledge transfer opportunity for us to learn. Of course, the campaigning, because you cannot just implement something without, you know, trying at least to raise awareness about the concern. So the program actually allows you also for a large dissemination budget to raise awareness of the problems, the potential solutions, and the energy benefits towards going green. So I think it's a brilliant opportunity for us to be in at the moment, because this will allow us to ride on the fact that there is, I mean, a lot has been said about public transport over the past 6 months, of course. But one of the things we cannot really forget is that all that publicity has also raised a lot of awareness about public transport. Maybe a bit negative, but it's, you know, it's people who are talking about it. So we need to sort of now continue with that campaigning to get people to realize there's more and more opportunities. And through the project, which is only 2 years, it's not a long project, we'll be able to actually develop two things, really. On one hand, the joint action plan, which will be a joint action plan with the local council to look at what we can implement. And also, on the other hand, the strategic research agendas, which will see us then take what we found to the next level and apply for more funding and develop more our capacity. So in our case, we will be developing a research cluster, which is a first. In fact, we are a mentored cluster within this program, which means we'll get a lot of experience from the other partners. And, of course, build our capacity to start playing the game, basically, within the international research area.
The effect of a good communication campaign is obviously not lost on anyone. Connected with this sort of thing, I remember the campaign for the person who is on the roundabout has the right
right of way.
That, I distinctly remember, had an almost immediate effect.
Yes.
From one day to the next, when they had that advertisement, suddenly people became aware. And I always quote that as an example. And
effective communication.
Yes, it was incredible. It was just a small thing, but it really changed attitudes completely. So this idea of a good budget for the dissemination.
It didn't come alone, though.
There were also the work on marking the roundabouts very well, so making
you have
to stop here. It's a giveaway sign. So the infrastructure and the communication need to come together.
Yes,
it's useless to do the communication when the infrastructure is not there. It's useless to put in the infrastructure, or less useful to put in the infrastructure, when you're not disseminating the idea. Both have to come hand in hand, but a study of what is required,
and of course,
this funding comes in.
The engineers are very, very important, because with today's technologies, I mean, transport today is very different to the transport of 30, 40 years ago. Today, transport is all driven by information systems and technologies. The actual word is intelligent transport systems, ITS. And there are huge infrastructures at policy level within research groups that actually tackle ITS as a separate field of study, simply because today transport systems are run not by people but by machines. So in identifying and supporting such an initiative with appropriate technologies becomes critical. Having real-time information, you know, where to go. And in fact, I think it's London's proposal to actually optimize the bike sharing system in sort of telling you where to go to leave your bike. Because one of the biggest problems they were having was arriving to a place where you want to put your bike and it's full. So where's the next one, you know, and things like that. So increasing efficiency within the system, of course, encourages more people to use it, makes it more effective. So ICT is very, very important in this project.
ICT and engineering in such a field would provide these little apps, little websites where people can go. They're at a shopping mall in Sliema. They wanna go quickly to Valletta. They go on their app, check immediately if there's a bike available outside the shopping mall in Sliema. Check where they wanna go in Valletta. The route will be mapped on their phone. They go. They know the bike is there. They know they can leave it immediately in Valletta. Put in their Visa and in the machine. It charges them 50 cents, and they ride their bike to Valletta.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. I dream of an electric car full Malta.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. There's a lot of political issues involved in that as well. Unfortunately, the time has come to an end. I'd like to thank Dr. Maria Tard and Dr. Kenneth Sherry for coming to talk to us about this fascinating and very topical subject. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub li l-kom biex xewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.